I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sandpits Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Serious Issues. My name is Andrew Levins, and joining me today, returning to the show, the great Connor Stevens.
Hello.
Hi, Connor.
I'm here.
Welcome back. You can hear the sound of dread of everyone listening right now as they realize that today is another all-manga episode of Serious Issues.
Call us Sister Act 2, because we're back in the habit of talking about manga.
Now, before we recorded, Connor, you mentioned that you did not understand the concept of a MySpace top 8. So how in the fuck do you know what the sequel to Sister Act is known as?
I don't know. One plays on Channel Go, the other didn't play on my Windows 95 computer.
You are a very strangely aged person. How old are you now? Let's get this out of the way now.
20 now.
20. Okay, you're no longer a teen. Interesting stuff.
I'm woke now, if we're to believe the saying.
You're no longer... I think, yeah, in the early episodes of Serious Issues, we referred to you as the woke teen. Now you are just an average 20-something. Like all the other losers who listen to this podcast. Nowhere near as cool as everyone over 30 who makes it. Actually, I have no idea if Siobhan's even over 30 yet. I should learn the ages of my co-hosts. Look, if the idea of listening to two friends talking about manga for the next hour sends a shiver down your spine, shiver no longer. Why don't you just think about this as two people who have routinely recommended things that you've enjoyed in the past. However, now they're just recommending you new things from a different country. And I really should just stop giving so many disclaimers before committing to... Everyone knows it's all I read now.
Are you just under the assumption that so many of your readers hate manga? Like, if I look at your iTunes reviews, it's like, this show segmented in a way I hated. Get out of Japan.
Oh, no. The latest review of Serious Issues is complaining about how much I say and ah, which I am trying now since reading that criticism to do less. But, you know, It's when you are trying to be critical of something, you don't want to just blurt out stupid things. You want to pause for a moment before you blurt out the stupid things. So that's all I'm doing. He's a big fan of Siobhan, though, so he's going to definitely love this episode.
Skipping this one.
Yeah. So we have, Connor and I have read a lot of the same manga in the last couple of weeks, which is exciting because it just means I wake up to a deluge of "Oh my gods!" from Connor, as either they or I catch up to where the other one is at in the series that we're currently reading. So we have a few series that we've both jumped on for the first time, and a series that we've both been reading for a while, Connor significantly longer than I, that has just finished to talk about on the show today. But I thought we should kick things off with a series that has taken over both of our lives over the last fortnight. And that is a manga series that premiered in Shonen Jump about just under 2 years ago and has recently become an anime for the first time. There's four episodes of it out, and it's a manga that I've been aware of and kind of had on my list of ones to get to eventually. But I guess a lot of people responding and so excited about the anime starting, both Connor and I went in to Jujutsu Kaisen for the first time. which is a manga which is written by Gege Akutami. Would you say Gigi Akutami or Gege?
I'd probably say Gigi, but that means it's probably wrong.
Likewise, so who knows where we're at. But Akutami has is a relative newcomer to long form manga. He's got a few miniseries and one shots in his past, but Jujutsu Kaisen is his first long form series, and actually follows on from a considered canon miniseries that he wrote for one of the Jump books a couple years ago. It's essentially your classic teen shonen manga about teenage boys and girls fighting demons. And Connor, you sold it to me because you started reading it before I did. Just saying how much heart, even though you, especially in those early chapters, you were very aware of the tropes and story beats and characters. You know there was a familiarity to them. You've read a lot of shonen manga over the years, but yeah, like you said that this had a lot of heart.
Yeah, I think I read the first 8 chapters like a year ago, and I was like, oh, I'll come back to that. Never did, and then the anime started, and that's just incredible. I'm sure we'll talk about that in a bit too. And then I jumped on it, just, you know, started tearing through it. But yeah, it's like, you know, a well-to-do kid who wants to just help people, gets, you know, powers and has to fight the evils of the world, and meets up like a zany bunch of characters, and there's this own, like, complicated battle system that constantly changes and powers up, and, you know, it's all that shonen stuff, but like, I think I started with that, but, you know, now we're both caught up to chapter, I think, 128, so now it's like, it's not even in that shadow of itself. It just feels like just one of the best shonens you can read at the moment.
It is, yeah, because it's, you know, I definitely agree with you. Like, when you are reading those first maybe 30 chapters, it's like, oh, it's kind of nicely familiar. Like, just feels like a, you know, very well done shonen manga that hits all the beats you want it to. But it quickly evolves into, like I said the other night to you, like before you caught up completely, like the current arc has massive Chainsaw Man energy, which is another manga that we're both big fans of, which is like wildly unpredictable. And Jujutsu Kaisen, this current arc, like Connor mentioned, we're up to the 120 chapters now, and the current arc has just such an insane unpredictability, and the stakes feel so high for every character. Death is just a frequent occurrence for any character in this series, and God, the current arc is just it's
all time possibly,
and so stressful. It's like I said to you the other day, I'm like, I genuinely think this is one of the best arcs I've ever read, and I have no idea what's going to happen next. It is like, you know, all of the characters that we've met so far, basically fighting a bunch of demons that have taken over Shibuya and are like, you know, have trapped a bunch of humans, and they have to try and rescue them. And like, you know, so you have like constant deaths of like these, you know, nameless humans that are at threat. But then, yeah, all the characters that you may have, you know, maybe you've spent 100 chapters with, one of them could die too. it's crazy to see like a manga that's built itself up so strongly, like Jujutsu Kaisen has, and like, you know, lured in people with that familiar premise, only to just punch them in the heart constantly with each new chapter. It's thrilling.
And it touches on at the start, but like, I think, yeah, once like Patchwork, I forget his name, Patch something, your boy, once Patch he face, gets yeah, introduced, yeah, it's like, it starts feeling like a proper horror manga mixed with, yes, the shonen. It's not just, oh, there's curses and there's demons. It's the threat of death is real, and bodies will be treated absolutely horribly as you try to save the day.
Yeah, I mean, to give people a better idea of like exactly, you know, the premise of this show, yeah, we have Yuji Itadori, who is the protagonist of this series, who is just like, you know, an average school kid who's very good at sports, naturally gifted at sports, but he's grandfather is dying, so he wants to be with his grandfather at the hospital as much as possible. He chooses as his afternoon activity, it's like a spirit summoning, like a
club, like, yeah, like a cult,
paranormal club afterwards, after school, And he really likes the two other students that he's there with, and they uncover like a cursed artifact in the school that they believe is cursed, the Oval, and send a lot of people, a lot of athletes home sick. And it turns out this is just the first chapter of the series and the first episode of the anime. The cursed object is a finger of one of the most powerful demons of all time, whose name is Sukuna. And after meeting someone else, another student from a different school, this is a school that basically like specializes in fighting demons. Is it Jujutsu High? Is that what they're called?
Yeah, or they're Jujutsu Sorcerers at the Tokyo Jujutsu High.
Yuji Itadori, our main character, takes it upon himself to help save his friends and maybe more than that over time by eating the cursed finger of the demon. And so he now has a demon trapped inside of him that he can swap places with if he ever needs to. But the demon is, like, you know, one of the most powerful and terrifying demons of all time, so he doesn't want to do that too often. And he basically gets enrolled in this Jujutsu Sorcerer school and meets a bunch of other Jujutsu Sorcerers, and they go out and fight cursed demons and you know, obviously progressively get more and more powerful over time. It's so much fun. I think the first 30 chapters are fun but confusing as you're introduced to, like, the power systems and a lot of characters that I think look very similar, or certainly talk very similar. But soon you meet a lot of, like, yeah, like, very, very animated and fun characters, and I have a lot of favorites, and I'm worried about the their lives at the moment.
Yeah. we're talking about it. It feels so long ago. It's been like 2 weeks, but from where we are now to back then, just massive. Yeah, I mean,
so to give, I know Connor's in a similar page as me, but we burned through all the manga in like a fortnight, 120 something chapters. Then this week I've watched the first four episodes that are available of the anime. And I generally don't like anime adaptations of manga because, one, I want to read the manga first because I always find them much better paced than the anime. And then if I've read the story before, it has to be really good to maintain my attention. You know, as much as of a One Piece fan as I am, like, I can barely sit through, you know, two episodes of that show even when it's at its best. Although I know there are, like, you know, there are arcs that are done really well. Overall, One Piece is a slog. And I generally find that, like, yeah, a lot of anime adaptations can be, like, unnecessarily drawing out certain plot points to get more episodes out of the limited chapters that they have access to. But the first episode of the anime of Jujutsu Kaisen, I think, is a better story and better, like, you know, it's told better than the first chapter of the manga, and it was so great revisiting it. The four episodes that followed, it's just so much great style. The fight scenes are awesome. The voice cast is wonderful. The music and the score the opening theme is just so good. We're gonna talk more about that in a moment, but I saw the opening and closing theme videos before I'd finished the manga, and I was just like, oh my god, I can't wait to watch these as soon as I finish. And I have listened to the theme song, I think, 50 times this week. It is so good.
Yeah, I'm insane, but maybe, I mean, I'm kind of funking out to that ending theme a bit more. You know, just any theme just is great, especially vibes.
The visuals to match the ending theme are fantastic too. But the opening theme is by this musician and producer from Japan whose name is Eve, not to be confused with the Rough Riders rapper from New York, Eve. Very different. Although one day they should collaborate. That'd be great. But Eve makes, like, I guess, like, your typical kind of, like, anime opening, very, like, anthemic, like, pop rock, but it has all of his music has like quite, like, math rocky, almost like emo guitar and drum work. I love it. It's so addictive, and I've listened to, I messaged Connor yesterday to let them know that I've listened to every single song Eve has made that's available on Apple Music.
Like incredible music videos animated by some of the most popular, like, animation studios in Japan.
God, some of the videos are insanely beautiful, like just so well animated. It's funny, like I feel like Eve and then what's the other act that I listen to a lot that's like a dude and a girl?
Oh, why can I not remember the name?
The name starts with a D. We're going to get this. You and me can figure this out.
All right, let's go quick.
I have a playlist. I know they're in the playlist. It's like the worst artist to try and tell Siri to play, because the name is so confusing for Siri to understand. Yao Sobi doesn't start with D at all.
Yoa Sobi
is their name, and it's a producer and a singer. And I like that, like
Vocaloid produces it well at some point, but I think they might still be because Vocaloid just surpasses whatever I once used to listen to when I was like 12. So you know, sure. Crazy over there.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of experience with the genre of Vocaloid, but yeah, you're right. Both acts have a background in it. Now they make kind of like more accessible pop rock, but it's like really frantic and crazy. And yeah, I like that both Eve and Yoa Sobi have anime like film clips, and then like there's no photos of the artists anywhere online. It's just like they have like manga avatars. so that these guys were clearly put on this earth to make anime soundtracks. I've been listening to a lot of K-pop as well, and I like that K-pop is like harkening back to like the 2000s era of like girl groups and boy bands. Like, you know, everyone from like Backstreet Boys in America to like all of the British like S Club 7 and 5 and stuff like that. But J-pop is just, yeah, it's just like, oh, I'm like, it's just still, every song is just epic. I don't know, there is like a lot more kind of classical pop kind of stuff, but then there's so much like big rock guitars and like so many layers of epic vocals. They all just sound like anime intros. It rules.
The amount of like connection between like J-rock and J-pop, which, you know, encompasses like 30 other genres as well, but that's my favorite. Just a lot of good guitars out there, that's all I'll say.
Yeah, it rules. But yeah, highly recommend reading Jujutsu Kaisen, watching Jujutsu Kaisen, listening to Eve, and exercising demons at all opportunities. It's
yeah, I'll like if you want to get into the manga a bit easier, like, the explanation of sort of the power system is, like, I'm saying like a lot now, I think I got it stuck in my head, but,
You're gonna, look, I'll let you know when someone writes about it in the iTunes review.
Finally, my first review. We don't have any reviews. It breaks my heart.
By the way, everyone, Connor is joining us from their podcast with Denim Harry, the excellent Wine Mums, a pop culture discussion podcast that they, do. Is it weekly or monthly? Or it's kind of like whenever.
Just right? Whenever, you know. Despite, yep, you know, everyone's desires, we continue on. So, if you want to find us there, we sometimes talk about this stuff.
And leave them a review. I very rarely ask for a Serious Issues review, but I am asking for positive reviews only for good old Wine Mums.
I'll take a negative one. Just, like, something.
Okay, well, if you think I say too much, maybe let Wine Mums say they say mum too much. Or come too much. Your choice.
That might be a legitimate criticism. Yeah, so in the world of Jujutsu Kaisen, it's all about curses and curse energy. Humans put off negative energy, like their fear of natural disasters or like burglars and like cemeteries and stuff. And that creates creatures that run around and murder people. But humans, if they're born with it, can use that cursed energy to like do whatever the fuck they want. You know, they'll be mechs. They'll be punching things, they'll be summoning shadows, they'll be nails. You can just hit someone with a nail. Just like...
Great. It's super... Just... My favorite superpower in the show, in the manga.
Yeah, and if you just kind of got to like roll with the punches that cursed energy can do just about everything, and it takes maybe about 75 chapters in until I finally figured out what Gojo Sensei's powers actually did.
Yes. Like, having heard you just say that now, in my head I was like, yes, I know exactly what they're talking about. But now I'm like, oh God, what if Connor asked me to say what the powers are? I don't think I could say.
There's just one scene where someone just color grades his powers. I'm like, oh, I guess that sort of makes sense. Yeah.
Well, Gojo Sensei is like, he you can't touch him, right?
Yeah, he doesn't exist. He can repel things. Because he exists in, like, the infinitesimal, but that also means he can explode energy outlets. And also, he has a second power, which means he can overflow the world with information that destroys your brain. That plays, like, Yu-Gi-Oh card feel spells if you watch the Yu-Gi-Oh show. Oh, it's so funny.
I'm assuming everyone who's listening this far has.
Oh, mandatory watching. probably.
Yeah, but look, above all, with this manga, like, you know, the genre of shonen manga, there's so many detractors that I understand the reason why people don't take manga or anime seriously. Like, you know, the so-called fan service that means you know, every female character is stripped down to a bikini or less, like a bikini at best, just, you know, to titillate teenage Japanese readers. And it can get, like, you know, I've been reading, I forgot to put it on the list of things we're going to talk about today, but I've read the first three volumes of Fire Force, which is a manga series by Atsushi Okubo, who also did the Soul Eater series. And I know that the anime is super popular. It's like, it's a gorgeous looking anime. I watched the first few episodes and the fan service, and that turned me off. But I saw the first three volumes of this, of Fire Force, at my library, and I thought, oh, maybe it's just an anime thing. Maybe the manga, doesn't have that. And it is so much worse in the manga.
Like, oh, no, I had, like, to drop the anime. I just couldn't. That's terrifying. Yeah.
There's, like, you know, there's a nun character, like, who's like a... she, like, Fire Force is about, like, a team of essentially superheroes who use their powers to fight fire demons, but they all dress up in, like, firefighter uniforms, and it's like, it's such a great concept, and they look so fucking cool in their uniforms, especially in, like, the really, really colorful and vibrant anime. But, like, yeah, this nun character, like, gets stripped down to nothing so frequently in the first three volumes, and it's just so, it's just gross. It's enough to just go, why the fuck am I reading this? And so I stopped. I don't think I'll read any more Fire Force. But there's definitely some good in it. But I hate having to make excuses for myself, or, like, you know, just hope that no one is seeing me read this book in which, like, a very buxom, tall woman strips a habit off a teenage nun and, like, walks on her. I don't know. but Jujutsu Kaisen, on the other hand, like, you have, like, so many great characters who just, they all wear the same uniform, and, like, I don't know, like, there's references to sex in it, and, like, well, not so much sex, but, like, the desires of a teenage character, but it's done in a way that I don't think is, like, gross at all.
Like no visual fan service too, which is, like...
Yeah. Nice. Like, there's a character who is very, very, like, you know, outgoing about the fact that he loves tall women with big butts. But you never see him, like, you know, like, drooling Sanji style over a character with a big butt in front of him or anything.
No,
like,
nosebleeds.
Yes, exactly. It's done in a really sweet way. You know, even a manga as progressive as, like, Kimetsu no Yaiba has, like, a standard, boring, like, teenage Japanese pervert character. Who is apparently the most popular character in the series. it was so refreshing to have Jujutsu Kaisen just, you know, be all of these, like, have all those familiar feelings from shonen manga, but not have that really annoying one.
Mm.
Great series. Highly recommended.
Now we got to suffer through the wait weekly for it. I mean, I'm excited for that, but...
Yeah, I agree with you that it is a bummer when you... hit when you read past the binge point of a manga that you just started, but there is something so special about every Monday getting the notification from the Shonen Jump app that all the new chapters are ready, and then getting, like, a, you know, 20 pages of One Piece, 20 pages of Jujutsu Kaisen. Like, it's sick. I have, like, six now that I keep up with. I mean, you said you're going to do it. Have you read any of the more recent Shonen Jump series?
No, I just read Jujutsu Kaisen. It's okay, all I thought cool. about for, like, 2 weeks.
I've read a bunch of them, some of them I do not like at all, like Roboco, which is a comedy manga about, like, a little kid who everyone has, like, robot maids, and they're, like, sexy, but he gets a fat robot maid, and she's not sexy. How annoying. It's a terrible, terrible manga.
So okay. bad.
Don't read it.
Actually, I should say, I actually find Jujutsu Kaisen probably has my favorite comedy in shonen. It's so dry, but it's so funny. Just, like, random insertions of dry observation or reaction faces.
Yeah, no, it's great. Yeah, I mean, the kind of disdain that the characters have for each other provides a lot of humor. And almost disdain for their job as well. Like, in spite of all the insane, heightened, crazy fighting they have to do, they still, you know, roll their eyes and make a bunch of quips, but in a non-annoying way. It's good. But one of the manga series that started recently in Shonen Jump, it's less than 40 chapters in. It is written by Yoshifumi Tezuka, and it's called Undead Unluck. And it is a very funny series that I have quite grown to love. So Undead is the code name for a character whose name is Andy, and Undead is a zombie who cannot die, so he is Undead. And then Unluck is Fuko, and she is like a teenage girl. So I guess, yeah, like Andy is like Undead zombie character who's a little bit like Wolverine in that he has like regenerative powers and has also been alive for many, many years. And then he meets Fuko, who is known as Unluck. And Fuko, after having many years of Unluck, because whoever touches her skin to skin, something bad happens to. Andy meets her and like immediately like hugs. Like the first chapter is so gross with the fan service. Like basically like she gets topless somehow and he presses his skin against hers and then gets like hit by a meteorite. And he thinks that if he can convince this teenage girl to love him, enough bad luck will happen that he may actually be able to die. And so the first few chapters are like this very stupid slapstick manga about like this girl being like, fuck off, you dumb old weird zombie, and him wanting to like convince her to love him so that they can fuck, I guess, and then he'll die. Death by fuck. It then opens up the world. So there's Undead, there's Unluck, but then we learn that there's lots of other characters which are like something else, and that refers to all of their other powers. You then also learn that there's like a table of people that like they sit around a table and they're like the you know, like the Knights of the Lord table or whatever, but they basically have to deal with all of these curses, I guess. I know they have an official word in the book, but I can't remember what it is. But there's like a talking book that grants them wishes if they fulfill certain missions for him. And basically, like, these wishes will be like, or like circumstances that happen because they fulfill or fail to fulfill this like weird book's needs. There's like a god that creates the rules for them and that puts these like weird creatures or that are either monsters or people that can join their team to help fight the monsters. They have to like they talk to this book and like it grants them things like now, because of their actions, everyone in the world speaks the same language. And but then there's also like a massive monster will be unleashed on the world that they have to fight and take down. And we learn that like some of the characters have been doing stuff for this god, and then there's like a timer. If they don't fulfill all of these things, the world's gonna end. And it's just like the lore is insane for this like insanely stupid premise from the first few chapters. The lore of the world that these dumb characters is in is crazy and reminds me a little bit of like Hunter x Hunter. Like the characters kind of feel like the hunters in that group that have to do things for the greater good, or like, you know, you can do things for yourself as well. There's so many crazy concepts in this manga. I swear if you read it, Connor, you would find something to like about it.
I might just that it's so funny to me. I'm not sure whether it's just the way this company runs. Like, all right, start as a comedy manga and in about 8 issues, we'll tell you to fuck that off. Let's get the show rolling. It's pretty common, but it's still incredibly funny when it happens. Like, is that Mashal book going to become a fighting manga before we know it? Who knows?
I think it already has.
Oh my god, of course.
They use, like, magic. It's like, that's like a weird, like, Harry Potter parody manga that has now become, like, a magic fight manga. But the pencil work in Undead Unluck is pretty rough, but there's a charm to it that reminds me a lot of, like, 90s era Image comics. And then, of course, the presence of a very Wolverine-esque character. It's very horny. It's very violent. There's lots of swords. If you miss the weird chaotic energy that came with 90s Image comics, definitely give Undead Unluck a shot on the Shonen Jump app. I like it, and I feel guilty liking it, but maybe you can feel guilty liking it too.
Communal guilt. It's fine. Better.
You got to share it with somebody.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And one series that Connor had me join on again after it was shortly after the anime of this manga started is Beastars, and maybe you've read it, maybe you've watched the is it 12 episodes that aired on Netflix. Was it earlier this year or was it the end of last year? I can't remember.
One of the two.
That series, which is written and drawn by Paru Itagaki, actually came to a close on about 3 weeks ago, had its final chapter. What can you tell us about this excellent manga about horny animals, Connor?
I mean, I feel like everyone sort of compares it to Zootopia to start with, which it kind of does. It starts off as like this world of herbivores and carnivores. Everyone's an anthropomorphic animal, and there's that tension between the two types. But there's a school where it starts at, and there's this concept called the Beastar, which is like you graduate from the school to become like God. Not really God, but you look after all the animals as almost a divine authority. And it starts off, you know, really horny, really fun, with a nice bit of social commentary, school drama. Then it sort of goes into an action manga when you, like, the mobs are introduced and there's stuff about this back alley market and, you know, fights ramp up and there's about 100 chapters in the school. And it's really taken off here and in Japan. And then, but I feel like what the English release is about to get up to, I think they're 8 volumes in, is that post-chapter 100, the game changes entirely. You know, we sort of leave the school and the manga becomes something new entirely. And I really love it post there. And that sort of built up to something really incredibly with this end, which I think was pretty good.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was really, really satisfied with the end, but I'm also bummed that it ended. I feel like this the world that we're introduced to in this is just has so much potential for more stories. And there is a tease that Paru Itagaki is going to return to the kind of animal-based stories that are in it. Before she made Beastars, she did a series of animal, you know, anthropomorphic animal stories. What were they called?
Beast Complex, I think it was called. Beast Complex, she has confirmed a new Beast Complex miniseries just about random one-shot stories in this world.
Yeah, so we are getting more stuff in this world, which I guess is exactly what I want.
But the characters... Wolves.
Those characters are some of the best realized characters I've ever read, especially Louis and
Legoshi.
Yeah, like just two phenomenal characters that are also extremely hot animals.
I mean, let's not forget, you know, and there's so much like, well, you meet the mobster lions.
Oh, my God.
In the first 100, and you'll learn that season 2 if that's how you watch it. Just the best, just... 8 lions who are gangsters who end up following a deer and become some of the most lovable criminals ever written.
Yeah, they're so great. And it's that they're every character you meet in this series becomes more than what you like. There's very few characters that you only see once.
Mm.
You know, over the couple years that this manga is set, everyone plays different parts of this, like part romance book, part like power play book, part like civilization story. I loved every moment of reading this, and like, you know, as satisfying as the end was, I can't help but be a little dirty that this story is over. I hope it's, you know, it ended because Paro Itagaki was like either, you know, wanting to move on to something different, or like had thought she'd told everything she could with these characters. I hope it isn't because of like sales, or I don't know. I don't know how popular this was. I know it doesn't sell that well in Australia, but it, you know, it is relatively new.
Weak Australia. Weak.
But above all, I hope Netflix completely finishes. You know, financing. Do they actually finance it in? Is it made by Netflix in Japan? Or
I think so. I think it airs as a proper weekly show in Japan, and then we get it later.
Orange is the studio. Orange studio. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so it'll be... Also,
I was going to say, in Japan, it airs in Fuji TV, and then the rest of the world on Netflix.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, it was only
sense.
Licensed. Yep, there you go.
I was wrong. Damn it. My cred. My Netflix cred.
So what were you going to say about...
Yeah, I don't think you'll ever, like, be disappointed with this ending. I think there are, like, loose threads that are left. There are, like, characters I wish to see more of. I want to see my beautiful panda again. I want to see what the boys at school are still up to. You know, I loved when Legoshi moves into that housing complex in the shitty part of town. I would have loved a bit
with
more
the seal.
Oh, you did see the seal. The seal was wonderful. But, yeah, I think it's... Beastars... The Joy of Beastars, it's such, like, an unrentingly creative book. It's a world that she created and just went, I can do whatever the fuck I want. And this ending, she did whatever the fuck she wanted. And it has that energy to the end, which I think was, like, the important part.
She is such a phenomenal artist. Like, you know, granted she's drawing, you know, very creative animals. You know, drawing animals very creatively, but her facial expressions that she's able to convey on them is just really remarkable. I can't wait to see what she does next. You know, maybe it is an extended long run on Beast Complex. I have this, like, bad thing where I was... The first weekly manga that I read was One Piece, which is still going strong at chapter 993. So whenever a manga series, which, you know, this year a lot of series that I started, you know, either, you know, earlier this year or last year or before that, you know, Demon Slayer, Promised Neverland, Beastars, like a lot of series have ended at around the 200 mark. So what, Beastars made it to 196, I think. So it does, I'm like, oh, why is it ending so early? But that still is like an insane amount of story to read. I, you know, and I wonder with all of, like, you know, the insane stakes of this big battle that we're reading in Jujutsu Kaisen, like, how much longer has the writer got planned for this story? It's crazy.
I did have that fear. I'm like, I want this one to go on for... My favorite length for a manga is maybe 8 volumes, but I don't know. Jujutsu Kaisen, I want that till I'm, like, dead, maybe.
Yeah. Hopefully we get that for a long, long time. It's very good. And so is Beastars. Highly recommend Beastars and Jujutsu Kaisen as two of the kind of best manga that I've read this year, for sure. What have we got next on our list, Connor? We have...
Witch Hat Atelier.
I'm glad you could say that last word. Say it again.
Nice Atelier.
Atelier. Witch Atelier. Hat Atelier.
Which I think just means a house, maybe.
I have the first volume of this, and I still haven't read it because I'm an idiot. But you know what I should say? As far as, like, beautiful volumes of manga, tankobons, Beastars and Witch Hat Atelier are probably tied first for just, like, beautiful uses of color, but also negative space and, like, really, really interesting designs, as in, like, you know, like, intricate, almost like mazes of either text or like, actual font stuff, you know, like, design. I love the Witch Hat Atelier. Cover designs is what I'm saying.
Yeah, so this came out in... Maybe the first volume was even 2018 here. And then we've just now gotten the sixth volume. And I celebrated that by reading it start to finish. And I think this stands with, like, now Jujutsu Kaisen and, like, Land of Illustrious as my favorite manga coming out. I think this book is just absolutely so special. It's this world of like magic, sort of a very European mixed with Japanese iconography sort of magic world of like sort of medieval world where magic isn't done through flicking fingers and, you know, saying words. It's through special ink where you draw seals and drawing the seal creates the magic. And at one point this world was destroyed by war because if everyone can just draw something, then magic goes crazy. So this world has been reformed, people have forgotten, and there is this great lie that magicians run that you can be born with magic when secretly they're hiding the power of, you know, drawing magic so it doesn't get out and destroy the world again. And it stars a young girl called Coco who is given magic by the evil of the series called the Brim Caps because they wear brims to hide their faces. And she draws a spell that freezes her mother in stone and she has to be accepted into with the witches now to learn how to undo that and become a proper witch and joins this atelier of like a crazy, maybe even Gojo Sensei-esque witch master named Kuifre and three other girls. And it's just a book
What's
of
the name?
Her.
Kuifre?
Kuifre? Q-I-F-R-E-Y? I think so. Kwai? Q? Kwai? No further comment. I won't bring it up. And yeah, just throughout the book, it's about her learning magic and learning of the evils of this world and the joys of this world and learning magic with her friends and their friendship between the four girls and this larger threat. And it's just such a... It has this very, like, the best all-ages feel of books like Bone and stuff like that, where it's a story that is timeless. It is just a story of friendship and joy and hope and coming together, and there are still stakes and all that, but it's just so beautiful. But also, just one of the prettiest books. Like, Google search it, find it in a bookstore, look at it. Every page, like, I don't know how this book chapter's come out, like, sort of monthly, because the level of artistry and lines and the drawing of the magic and these characters is just unreal. And, yeah, and there's a bunch of great stuff with, like, it's comedy and reaction phases as well, which you'd love. But, yeah, if you're looking, like, I'm not usually into that big sort of, like, magic school, magic world sort of thing, but this really hooked me, and I think it's just such a joy in every way, and I highly recommend it. Its first five volumes sort of worked really well with its characters. Now we're in the sixth volume and it feels like the world has just opened up again, and I'm so excited for the future of this book too.
Yeah, awesome.
It's that Kagome Shirahama, I want to say her name is.
I need to actually read this book. It's been sitting on my shelf for, yeah, like well over a year and I haven't read it yet. Just because I've been reading everything else. But hey, I'll get to it. There's lots of different genres of manga. We talk a lot about shonen manga, which is, you know, specifically for teen boys, although enjoyed by probably the most popular form of manga in Japan. I read a lot of CNN manga, which is made for older men, or is it just adults?
I think the category is sort of like older men, because the one for older women is Jose, like you know, Tokyo Tariba Girls and stuff that, you know, Siobhan's brought about. But over the years, it's just like editorial speak now for magazine sales. It doesn't really mesh anymore, but it sort of works in selling a book.
Yeah, I've read limited amounts, but I need to read more of shoujo manga, which is, you know, for teenage girls, which is, I think, officially what Witch Hat Atelier would fit under.
Probably.
We reviewed, what did we review last week? Can We Relationship, last time we did an episode together, is in there as well. But there's a lot of other genres, and the one genre that I think gets made fun of by a lot of people that have never read any is yaoi, or BL specifically, which BL stands for Boys Love Manga. And I know yaoi as like something that gets made fun of on South Park. It's like, you know, it's beautiful looking, like, you know, male characters kissing, essentially, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think there is, like, I sort of grew up reading this stuff as well. I know there's a history of problematic content and also, like, a big demographic with something like fan works and, you know, its appeal to women as well that's given it this big stereotype, which just totally picked up and ran with everywhere, that has sort of, you know, decreased the validity of this genre. But I think it is making a good return, including the one about birds.
Well, yeah, so, all right. So, Viz sent me a copy of the first volume of Toritan, Birds of a Feather, because I mentioned that I'd not read any yaoi before, and they said, whoa, you got to read some.
Whoa, are you
so
an
they
idiot?
Sent me this one.
Read this.
And I looked at the cover. You have, like, two, like, tall, skinny men, one with, like, fair hair, the other with dark hair, looking wistfully at the reader, like, read me if you dare. And I thought, great, these two young men are going to fall in love. I can't wait to read this romantic comic. I didn't read anything about the comic. I didn't read the blurb on the back. So Inusaki is the main character. He is someone who just does, like, odd jobs around the neighborhood, but officially calls himself a detective. For the most part, he has to, like, rescue animals out of trees and stuff. And he particularly hates birds because Inusaki can hear and communicate with birds. And he hates it because birds apparently have nothing good to say. That is until one day a particularly sexy crow comes and talks to him, and he suddenly starts having romantic feelings for this crow. So I was just taken aback, like, one, straight away, no, this character has weird superpowers that allow him to talk to birds. And then for it to be, like this love story about this dude falling in love with this crow and feeling weird about that, but also me as a reader going, like, oh, no, I understand why you would have feelings for this hot crow. This crow rules. And of course, you're kind of led to think that, oh, hold on, is the crow just a crow, or is the crow someone that's already in Inusaki's life that has the ability to turn into a crow? It's written by Kotosuke Yamamoto, and I thought this was an absolute joy to read. Connor, what do you think?
I was like, because you were like, you got to read this, and I'm like, I guess I got to read this. And at first, I was just taken aback. I'm like, okay, this is a way to get into boys' love. But actually, it's very sincere and genuinely quite funny. Like, its humor works really well. Even if it's like times a love triangle between two boys and a bird.
Yeah, BL stands for Birds Love. Right? Yeah, look, I love this. It's the first volume's out. It's very cheap. I think it's like $7 on Kindle, or a couple bucks more than that if you buy it elsewhere. But as a just fun, very humorous, well drawn, odd romance book, highly recommended. Toritan, Birds of a Feather, Volume 1.
Will this make you read more boys' love, do you think?
Yeah,
don't have birds, they're off the table.
Yeah, I'll definitely read boys' love books if they have talking birds in it. But like, I'm open to reading non-talking bird boys' love books. I know you've recommended a few, and some other people in the Hey Fam Discord have recommended a few manhwas in this genre. I have read a few. There were a lot of boys' love tumix books that I dabbled in the past. But
their best efforts, if we're honest.
Believe it or not, none. Oh yeah, of course, yeah. But I also nowhere near as sweet as Toritan, Birds of a Feather. So we have one more book to talk about in this great episode, and it is a book that I've never heard of. It's called Utsubora,
Tale of a Novelist. This is actually by a woman who does boys' love. I've ordered her classmate's trilogy of boys' love manga in, so we'll see about that. But this is like a very heavy drama series. Well, it's a single volume story by Asamiko Nakamura, and it starts off with a young woman committing suicide and her writer friend being approached by the police, being like, this woman kind of doesn't exist, and now she has a twin sister who showed up that doesn't exist. What the hell is going on? And it's sort of, you sort of learn their relationship was a tenuous one about, like, maybe about, like, plagiarism, and a story called Utsubora because, you know, the writer is getting older now and struggling with ideas. And what this is just like a one volume, incredibly heavy drama about, you know, bad people and bad relationships and, you know, struggling to survive and lecherous old men and young women trying to make it. I love this kind of shit. I think a lot of good stuff out of, like, Jose comes from drama, like, descending stories we both love a lot. This isn't really sort of the same, but if you love a good drama, you know, I absolutely adore this, even if it, like, rips your heart out and does all that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, terrible people doing terrible things is somewhat a favorite genre of mine. But what's cool about this, I didn't realize until I was cleaning up my shelf the other day, this is why the woman who also did Maiden Railways out from Denpa Books.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so right. Imagine her.
I should recognize the name.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't either until I just saw that. And I was like, that's so cool. And when I flicked through it, what's cool is what you've seen of her art style, imagine that. But this book has a really intense focus on heavy, like, inked lines. Like, it's a great contrast between black and light, black and white. And the way she draws hair in this, and, you know, her use of eyes to convey so much emotion. It's really fantastic. Content warning for this, for, you know, like, suicide and death and stuff like grooming and sex scenes and all that. You know, there's a lot in here, but if you do love a good drama of writers and things gone wrong, Utsubora is an incredibly, like, gorgeous-looking book, dripping with atmosphere, and that helps it a lot. And I think I want to get all of her works now, because apparently she's just hitting it out of the park.
Yeah, cool. All right, I definitely have to check this one out. So it's called Utsubora, The Story of a Novelist. Oh, man, I'm just looking at some of the pictures of some of the art from the book, and looks so unique. It looks very different
from
Railways.
I think it got a re-release, which is, like, why I saw it in the news and picked it up. So I think it should still be available to get, yeah. Totally unlike anything I've seen.
One of the best, like, looking, like, black and white pages I've ever seen. It looks excellent. Oh, that's so good. So Connor, before we go, have you got any series that you're planning on reading next, or anything that you're looking forward to that is still yet to come out
in this year? A few things, actually. Next month has a bunch of cool stuff. My Broken Mariko by Waka Hirako is another Jose book coming out, which is just, like, apparently just critical acclaim, a story of, like, a road trip. Big ooh-woo vibes there, of, like, a road trip between two girls and broken families, and the art looks incredible, and it's getting a wonderful hardback single volume release from Yen Press, I believe. Kageki Shoujo is a fun looking shoujo drama book about, if you've ever heard of the Takarazuka, they're like an all girls theatre group in Japan that has been running for generations, where you sign up and you live your life through that service, and it's stage productions that exclusively has women for both, like, male and female roles, and they do stage plays of, like, Shakespeare and anime and their own works, and this is, like, a dramatized version of that with a super fun art style. And from Witch Hat Atelier, her book, her previous series, I think, it's The Name of Two Angels, I don't know how to pronounce. I think Enidewi Eniel and Dwiala, out from Yen Press, comes out soon too, which is apparently just like a comedy book of a lady angel and a lady devil just making havoc through the world. And that looks fun too. So I'm looking forward to all of those.
Excellent. I am looking forward to, I own them. I haven't read them yet. I have two collections by two writers, mangaka that we mention a lot on the podcast. They're two of Siobhan's faves, two of my faves, and two of Connor's faves. I have the latest collection of stories, which Siobhan talked about last episode, by Junji Ito, which is called what's it called? I've got too many things written in front of me.
Venus in the Blind Spot?
Venus in the Blind Spot.
I saw that on the shelf. That is a nice hardcover.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, and obviously inside contains many horrors. And another very beautiful release is Sneeze, a collection of stories by Naoki Urasawa, who gets mentioned on the podcast frequently. He's the writer behind 20th Century Boys, Monster, Pluto, and so many more. And I read a lot of, like, you know, fan translated short stories he did, and this is a collection of a few of those and a few extra ones too. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But you Google the cover of that. It is so gorgeous. It's like Urasawa draws children's faces really well, like these very interesting looking children's faces. And so the cover of Sneeze is a girl who's about to sneeze with pigtails and just this great yellow background. It's a masterfully put together cover, and one that is definitely worthy of the pages within it. I'm also finally, I think next time we record an episode together, Connor, I will have read, because one of the next series that I'm going to take on is Revolutionary Girl Utena.
Oh, yes. I read the sequel series to that, which just came out from Viz. I'll wait till, if you do read Utena, we'll talk about that next time, because that is an interesting.
So that's called
collection.
After the Revolution.
Yes.
Revolutionary Girl Utena, I think is that and Sailor Moon are like the number one, like, magical girl manga, right?
Yeah, well, there's kind of like two halves. There is like the super all ages Sailor Moon and the surrealist deconstructionist magical girl series Revolutionary Girl Utena.
Cool. Yeah, I'm excited for it. Connor sent me an incredibly gorgeous hardcover collection of the whole series, which I will devour very soon. Again, I love, you know, any collection that could also be used as a weapon, and this is absolutely that. For those who have heard me rave on about it in the past, the first volume of Chainsaw Man, I think, has just come out. So it's, if you want to pick up this incredible series that, I mean, that first volume is going to be such a weird collection because it's nothing like what the series has become, and I wonder how well it sells in the West. But I'd imagine that that's going to get an anime announcement soon, because it is one of the best selling manga series in Shonen Jump now, alongside Jujutsu Kaisen. It's crazy looking at the best sellers in Shonen Jump from the start of the year compared to now, because so many massive series have finished. Haikyuu finished.
Demon Slayer was that last year.
No, that was this year. Demon Slayer and The Promised Neverland finished within like a fortnight of each other, and they both recently had epilogue chapters in recent Shonen Jump, in like the same issue actually, which were both fine. Whatever.
Okay.
again, excited for what the project is for those two mangaka as well. There's a rumor that the writer behind Demon Slayer just got sick of living in Tokyo and moved.
Bounce.
And that's why Demon Slayer's ended. But that definitely came to like what felt like a very big glorious finale.
Cool. That's cool. I love their art style so much.
Oh, so much. Absolutely. It's obviously One Piece is like number one. And then people still include Hunter x Hunter, even though it's very rare that you get a new chapter of that series. But that is still one of the best sellers. And then I think it's, My Hero Academia. And then I think, I honestly think Jujutsu Kaisen is in the top five now of best-selling ongoing manga in Shonen Jump, which is insane.
Good.
And I think, but I'm certain that number is going to skyrocket
the anime.
Demon Slayer style because of this anime, which is just so good. So yeah, go and as soon as now that this is over, you can go read, watch, and listen to Jujutsu Kaisen. Thank you so much for listening. You can also listen to Wine Mums, Connor's podcast. What's your most recent episode about?
Television series Bones. And we do talk about the new anime season and stuff like Jujutsu Kaisen there too.
Yeah, come for the new anime season talk, stay for the Bones talk. I haven't listened yet, but I know that was definitely denim, right?
Yes, yeah.
That's great. Wine Mums available wherever you get this podcast. I'm sure Wine Mums is available there. If you want to hear more of me, you can hear Hey Fam, 2 hours of which I record every single week with my friend Angus Truscott. We talk about anime and movies and video games. And this week we're going to be talking about Borat 2, which is surprise hit of the year. But I'm also going to try and force Angus to watch Jujutsu Kaisen because I think he'd love it too. And of course I have my other podcasts, All the Small Games, which is having a small hiatus while we deal with some stuff, and the Mitchin Food Podcast, which is plenty of episodes in the past, but we haven't done any in a while, but whatever. It's just too easy to talk about video games and comic books. Food, It's more fun to eat, but you know, maybe one day we'll come back. Thanks so much for listening to this one, Connor. Thank you again for being a guest. And
thanks for having me.
Guiding
always
me.
A pleasure.
I honestly wouldn't read half the manga I do if it weren't for your influence. So thank you. / fuck you.
A slightly parasitical relationship. It's fine.
I know I get you back with other things that I forced you into too. So it's a wonderful, damaging relationship for both of us. But thanks so much for being on the podcast again. And I look forward to doing this again in a couple months and boring the majority of the audience, apparently. keep those reviews coming, guys. iTunes.com or whatever the fuck it is.
I won't take it personally if this is the least listened to one. I'll take it a bit personally, but not much.
It'll be massive. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.